Welcome into another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing, Matt Peralta, we've got a great show for you guys lined up this morning today. Mike, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. We're all drying out from a tropical storm slash hurricane. It's been interesting, but it wasn't all that bad.
So you guys got wind and rain this time around. Last time it was nothing, right?
Right. It was nothing. I had to water my lawn. This time, we got a lot of rain. The system's only moving like at 3 miles an hour, so it's a slow, but it's bands of rain. It's not like we had with Harvey where it just poured out the whole for 24 hours. It's a band of rain, and then it'll kind of slow down and barely sprinkle, and then it comes raining again. So it wasn't that bad.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's hurricane season right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the folks in Louisiana. I really do. I mean, because they keep getting hit on this.
Yeah.
Because it's headed right to them. So either
back
way.
Back to back.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, so Chad Callender's coming on today from Ford. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. Mike's got an interview sitting down talking a bit about what's going on with them. Our news and notes segment, we're going to talk a bit about a big announcement for the Jeep Gladiator. The North American Car Utility and Truck of the Year Awards came out. Corvette got the nod, sort of the Telluride, but also the Jeep Gladiator. So we got some big news for these big awards that we're going to get into coming up in the news and notes segments. Automotive reviews coming up here on the program. Mike and I both have reviews for cars we were driving around this week. And I tell you what, I've been up to my eyeballs in boxes for the last 2 weeks here with the new house and whatnot. But it's
I didn't know you had a new house. Awesome.
Yeah, so we moved. But it's been a lot of fun to have to get out of the house and say, oh, I got to go drive the car to go do a review. So it's gotten me out of unpacking. So I've had the benefit to do that over the last couple of days as well.
Yeah, a lot of honeydews for you.
Boy, oh boy. I don't want to see Home Depot for a while, okay? I think I've seen them a little bit too much over the last couple of weeks. Just coming in and getting everything you need and boxes and shipping, packing gear and everything else that's been going on. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a rough couple of weeks, but settling down nicely here into the fall into a new home. So we've got Chad Callender, our news and notes coming up in the next segment, and we've got our automotive reviews plus a lot more to come. It is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Don't move. Mike Herzing, Matt Peralta. We are back with our news and notes segment next here on Let's Talk Wheels. It's time for the news and notes segment here on Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing and Matt Peralta. And so, Mike, let's start here with the North American Car, Truck, and Utility Vehicle of the Year Award that came out. Let's start with the Corvette Stingray here a little bit. You and I were out there for the last time Corvette had a big launch and a big release, but it's just quite the vehicle, is it not?
Yeah, it really is. And guess what? I've got one sitting at my driveway. I'm going to start driving this week, so... Yes.
Your review this week is the Stingray?
No, next week. Next week will be the Stingray, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. You're driving it to review it next week.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm jealous.
And I've also had the Sierra Denali and 1500, but this one is the carbon edition, you know.
Oh.
And really nice-looking black wheels, but it's a Sierra Denali. You and I drove them. It's pretty hard to beat. 21 miles a gallon out of a huge truck. I think I got 21.7 on the freeway. You know, it's funny, at 75 miles an hour, it's turning a little over 1,500 RPM. So, I mean, these things idle at 750 or 800. So, I mean, it's just, it's that big 6.2 V8. It runs so good. And like I said, 21.7 miles a gallon. It's great.
Look, should we look into this a little bit or talk a bit about the fact that a Corvette Stingray won the Car of the Year Award? Well, what does that say about the industry itself that a sports performance vehicle like this wins Car of the Year?
Well, don't forget, this is the North American Car and Truck of the Year Awards have a little bit different criteria. Just because it's good doesn't mean it can win every year, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like when they came out with the Ram, you figured it would have won 3 years in a row. You can't. It has to be significantly upgraded or changed or redesigned or something. So now that the Gladiator won, the standard Gladiator is not eligible for 2021.
Okay.
But luckily, they did have a big upgrade, and they came out with the Gladiator Mojave, and it is eligible. But the Ram hasn't really changed very much, so they're not eligible. And there's a lot of vehicles that aren't eligible. So as far as cars-wise, there hasn't been really anything brand new even compares to the Corvette. I mean, gosh, the Corvette is just such a clean sheet of paper, such a great driving, looking, inexpensive. Well, for that kind of level, you know, starting at $69,000, I know that's, you know, I mean, is it 59,000? It's priced so well compared to its competition. It's hard to beat. You know, it's one of those great American vehicles.
No, it's really, I mean, look, the launch, we were there for it. It was so fun to be there. And I mean, you have not driven it yet, right? Since we were out there in California?
No, I had a chance, but then they had a problem with me getting there, logistics. And so I just,
Okay, so you have a chance to get behind the wheel of that thing. I'm very jealous because when we were out there, it was, I mean, this thing is an awesome, awesome car, an awesome sports car. But it is interesting that it's a sports car that wins it. And, you know, it kind of talks about on this program, what we focus on are trucks, SUVs, and sports cars. And that's pretty much what this award is, right? The Stingray is a sports car. Yeah. The Telluride is the SUV, utility vehicle of the year. And then the truck of the year is the Gladiator. So it's just like, you know, what we're focusing on really is what the industry is producing right now from a vehicle standpoint. And look, the Telluride, I'm seeing them more and more here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think people are starting to gravitate more and more when they get behind the wheel. Right. The same thing that you and I experienced when we had the truck rodeo for you guys out there, you know, in Texas, where the Telluride won the award for your event. It was because of the fact when you drive it, you're like, wow, this thing, not only is it priced really economically, it's incredibly capable.
Right. But not only that, if you want something maybe a little bit nicer, you have the Hyundai Palisades,
right?
Which is its twin. It's kind of like GMC versus Chevrolet. Yeah, they're twins, but they're not. The GMC is dramatically nicer, and so the Hyundai is dramatically nicer. And I personally like the Hyundai a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I think it feels a little bit more. I mean, I'm not somebody who's going to bang a vehicle every weekend, and I'm not going to use it as a work truck type of thing. So, like, I would as a family vehicle. I do think the Palisades is a nicer vehicle. I'm with you on that. But I think if you are someone that does a lot of work, or you are driving, if you have a big piece of property that you need to be able to make sure that your vehicle
young
gets
kids
out.
That destroy vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, if you're driving around, I think the Telluride is just. I mean, I'm a huge fan of it, and it's. I like the look of it. I like the rugged nature of it, and. You know, if you're somebody in the Northeast or in the Midwest where the wind and the snow and the nastiness is coming, it's a vehicle that you're going to feel really comfortable driving around in. So, I like it a lot.
But also, you've got the Gladiator. I mean, look at that one for the truck of the year. Well, I mean, it's a hell of a truck.
It really is interesting because I am seeing these a ton here in Vegas. And, people here in Vegas tend to have a lot of off-roading. You know, they have their ATVs or they have their, their motorbikes or their quads, whatever that they may take out and go and off-road in. And I feel like people really have gravitated towards it because it gives you the capability of a Jeep Wrangler, but you've got the bed in the back. And you can put these motorized things in the back very easily. And I see them all the time. I mean, where I live, I'm right by Red Rock National Park. So people are going out there into the park, going ATV and going off-roading. And, it is wild to watch the people who, when they get behind the wheel of the Gladiator, they're like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. I can get best of both worlds. And this is not a surprise to me.
It's a Jeep that'll carry everything,
Right.
Because it's still the same size interior-wise as a regular Wrangler. The back seat, it's kind of like you chop off, they took the back seat of the Wrangler and then added a pickup bed. But it's granted it's got a new different frame. It's more of a truck design than it is a Jeep design. I'm sorry to put that. People think, they just took a Wrangler and extended it out, 30 inches. Well, no. Right. They actually took a Ram 1500 and shrunk it a little bit. And so that's why it's so capable. And it's just so heavy duty. I mean, I know so many guys that use this on work sites and things like that. And they absolutely, I haven't had any person yet that didn't just absolutely fall in love with them.
Yeah, it's. I've only sat in. I have not driven it yet. I've only sat in it, and my wife. I've tried to convince her that this needs to be our next vehicle, and so she's slowly coming around to it.
Well, if she drives it for a week, she'll like it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You can run over anything, curbs, bang this, that, and it won't hurt the vehicle. Teresa can go over, bang off of stuff all the time.
Yeah, no more banging into things. Please,
not into, but over. Okay, but you can take it off roading. You can take it camping. You can do all that stuff. And just think, they have the diesel version now that'll probably get 25, 26 miles per gallon. And they even have it coming out. The Jeep has changed now. They're moving to electrification. And so they've got this new 25 miles. You can go 25 miles plug-in hybrid. So save that 25 to when you get off-road. And then you've got this really neat hybrid powertrain. electric powertrain to pull you up and down the mountains and stuff. That is so cool.
Yeah, it really is. And it's really fun to see how that's going to, you know, what happens in the next couple of years with Jeep. And FCA also this week, Mike, had a big announcement because they're going to roll out the third version of the Built to Serve truck for the 2021 Ram 1500. And, I mean, they've already done two different iterations of this. So here comes the Built to Serve for the Air Force, which here in Vegas, I mean, that's a monster thing here in Vegas with the huge Air Force base that's here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be very popular here when this thing comes out.
Oh, yeah. And it has all, I mean, it's got all kinds of really cool things. But you know, they built this at the Sterling Heights Assembly Plant, okay? And it's a former military base that just at once produced missiles, okay? Opened in 1953, produced the Redstone and Jupiter missiles, part of Chrysler's missile division. I didn't know Chrysler had a missile division.
Nor did I, wow.
And they sold it, and then they Chrysler bought it back and started building vehicles, and now the Ram 1500. Is that cool or what?
Yeah, I mean, now you got the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, and the Coast Guard, five color schemes that are available here. And the first model came out last November, although each new edition will come out every 3 months going forward. And, like, you know, my stepdad was in the Coast Guard, and we've got Coast Guard stuff all over our house. And so I think for people who used to be in the Coast Guard, I think that's really cool because a lot of times the Coast Guard gets forgotten about a little bit. I mean, where I'm from in New England, the Coast Guard is seen all the time. But, you know, in other
Same
parts of the
here.
Country.
Gulf
yeah,
Coast.
Right. In the Gulf Coast, you know, you guys are by the water, so you see the Coast Guard all the time. But if you're inland, you forget about that. You know, it's not really the military or in the Coast Guard. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, they're really important for us to keep us safe. So the Coast Guard, I think that will sell very well in New England. The Air Force here in Vegas, like I mentioned, will sell very well. And I think that there's a lot of people who are going to be gravitating. You know, who's the market for these specific trucks? I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you have to go to the dealership, right? And most dealerships don't have this on the lot,
They'll
right?
have to order it, but the order, point right? is they've got it's got a lot of this one has aeronautical-inspired interior features. But one of the cool things about it, it's got embroidered Velcro patches on each seat, okay? And also the inboard shoulder panels and stuff like that, where you can apply your own patches for regimental, your flags, you know, all the slogans, you know, and you can That's have your cool. Army, Navy, all the slogans and things like that. And you can basically personalize your vehicle like that. It's so easy. And that is so cool.
Go Army, beat Navy, right?
There you go.
You can go ahead
and put down beat Navy and put it on Velcro patch and put it on your seats to remind you. And I think it's awesome. I think
it is.
This is so cool. But anybody that's either in the military or admires the military, or maybe their parents were in the military, or you know, mom or dad, that kind of stuff, that is so cool.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of different colors. In limited numbers too, which is neat. So it's not just that the truck has this; it's a limited number. It's like having, you know, a baseball card that's very rare, or having a painting that's very rare. I mean, it's something that these things are going to be numbered. I mean,
yeah, and they're going to be. You're talking 20 years from now. This thing is going to be worth a boatload of money. These are these limited edition things that Jeremy Birnbaum and I talk about from Classic.com. We talk about on the podcast version. This is the kind of thing that makes these things really valuable later on.
Right. It's just, you know, it's the exclusiveness. It's the limited number. It's, you know, back in the day in 2040, you and Jeremy are going to be talking about, remember in 2020 when they rolled out the Built to Serve truck?
Right.
Remember that? Well, here's one where you can pick up, blah, 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 blah. And there you go.
Yep.
Because it's rare and it's a limited edition and it's hard to find. And it's, you know, only a certain number of these trucks are going to be built. So if you are taking a look at that, they're supposed to be, well, some of them are available now, and they're coming out every 3 months now. So very cool with what Ram is coming out with FCA, with the Built to Serve truck.
Yeah, right, it's going to be great.
Like you mentioned, the Jeremy Birnbaum interview can be found on the podcast version of Let's Talk Wheels. If you guys haven't seen, heard, gone and subscribed yet, that's there and available for you guys every week. Jeremy Birnbaum on the podcast version of Let's Talk Wheels. Definitely go and check that out. We have our automotive reviews coming up next for Mike and I, is what we were driving around, and then a conversation with Chad Callender from Ford, all still to come. It's Let's Talk Wheels right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. It's the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Matt Perrault back with you. Time for my automotive review. You can get Mike Herzing's review coming up on the podcast. Go and download the podcast off Apple iTunes or Spotify. Go subscribe to the podcast. You can hear all sorts of cool stuff, including Mike Herzing talk to Jeremy Birnbaum each and every week on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast. But I was driving this week a 2020 Lexus RX 350L. This vehicle, look, We've seen these things everywhere, right? This is an incredibly popular, high-selling vehicle for Lexus, the 350L. It's got, for the 2020 version, it's got new stylings, it's got a little spoiler, a little sportier handling, a little bit sharper lines, a brand new touchscreen on this vehicle, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, very easy to use. You know, standard features, this is the fourth generation of this vehicle. You know, it probably needs a refresh at some point in the very near future, but, I mean, it is very high quality. I mean, this is a gorgeous vehicle coming in at around $50,000. Very safe, excellent ride, really comfortable seats. You've got the third row is a little bit tight. And look, I don't know if you really need a third row, but these are vehicles where you want a third row. The touchpad controller that Lexus has, I like it, but it takes you a while to get used to it. It's not something that's very simple. You don't just naturally use it. It's sort of, you know, it's a little bit cumbersome. You have to look down a little bit, which isn't always great when you take your eyes off the road. You don't really want to do that. But once you get a hold of it, it's pretty simple and easy. It just takes a little while to get used to it. I've had a couple of times experiencing, you know, with this now vehicle. So it makes it a little easier for me to be able to do it. But I mean, this is a luxury vehicle, right? I mean, it's got a V6 engine, it's got nearly 300 horsepower, very smooth transition, you know, through the gears. It's a comfortable ride. And look, you can really, you know, trick this thing out if you want with some incredible nav packages and 15 speaker system from Mark Levinson. So you can really do it nice. The hands-free liftgate is awesome. Ventilated seats in Vegas is really important. Your surround view parking camera system and a huge panoramic sunroof are both really nice features. And when you're driving in tight conditions and trying to figure out and navigate through here in Vegas, oftentimes we're in, you know, big parking structure, so you've got some tight corners you're trying to make, and, you know, that 360 view all around is really, really nice to have it. So that's something that I really do like a lot. I mean, it's a vehicle that, I mean, it's solid, right? I wouldn't say it's a wower, but it's fun. And I think from a value perspective, I mean, it's a solid vehicle, and it's priced competitively in the segment for other luxury vehicles, and it's been selling forever for a reason, because it's extremely comfortable on the inside, it's extremely comfortable to drive, it's got very good tech inside of it, and six USB ports is really important, and, you know, they get it. I mean, for whatever reason, you know, some of these other vehicles just aren't understanding. You have to have multiple USB ports available for everyone to use, and if you don't, it's somewhat problematic, and it's somewhat difficult as well. So I think that's important for anybody who's looking at this vehicle, is to, you know, how many USB ports do you have? And there's a bunch of them. So that's really nice to have it in there as well. So look, this has a hybrid version. It's got the 450HL. If you want to go and take a look at that vehicle. We've reviewed that one before. It's a little bigger. It's got the hybrid, obviously. You know, this is, you know, up against other three-row SUVs. And, you know, it's more suitable for kids, I think, in the back than I think adults. And that's probably the point of the vehicle. The front seats are very comfortable. Lots of room, lots of headroom. So you like that a lot. And look, I like performance. I like to see how these things handle. And it is a little bit of a sportier ride and a little bit of a sharper line. The grille is really nice to look at. Headlights are really specific and really, you know, pop and really look pretty. So, I mean, overall, this is an incredibly safe vehicle. You know, you have to like where it is, you know, from a tech standpoint, lane divergence and cross-traffic awareness and the things you really look for in the safety features. It's got all that. So, I mean, you can get this thing tricked up, you know, you can really start to add into it if you want, and you can get all the way up to $50,000, $55,000. You want to add some of the luxurious features that they've got for this vehicle. But, you know, when it comes to a Lexus and it comes to the RXs, you know, you've probably been in them before. You've probably ridden this thing before, and they're just improving on something that already works, and they know their customers really like it, and you see these things all over the road for a reason. And, you know, it gets decent gas mileage. I don't think you're really buying this thing for gas mileage, but I was getting like 23, 24 miles per gallon, which is not bad. I tend to drive really fast and tend to put it in a sport mode and tend to really try to push the envelope a little bit when I'm driving. So I'm not the best guy to go ahead and talk about gas mileage, but, you know, your 50-50 split third row seat makes it really fun for for a lot of cargo space in the back, which I think is really important. When you lay that down, you got plenty of space back there. As I said, when you put that third seat up, it's tight. But when you lay it down, you got a big trunk, a lot of room to navigate. I did a big Costco run with it and filled it up like I normally do every week, and I had no problem handling that at all. So I like these vehicles a lot. I'm a fan of the Lexus SUVs. If you like them, you're really going to like this. If you're new to it, definitely take a look at it, drive it, experience it, you know, kind of see where it's at from the Xfinity QX60 or the Land Rover Discovery, all in that same kind of area that the Acura MDX. Lexus sells because of brand loyalty, and folks just really like these vehicles a lot. And I get why. I mean, they're just incredibly comfortable, solidly built, very, very spacious for the two seats in the front. Third row is there if you want it. A lot of safety features, Apple CarPlay, USB ports everywhere. So really cool. The 2020 Lexus RX 350L. Check it out for sure if you're in the market for a luxury SUV. Got a lot more to come here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
All right, folks, as we talked about earlier in the show, we have Chad Callender from Ford. He's going to talk about the Ranger, and not only that, the new model of the Ranger called the Tremor. Hey, Chad, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels.
Well, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Now, I'm a big fan of the Ranger. I mean, I've had them, owned them, you know, this kind of stuff. And then, you know, then they were gone for a little while, and then they came back in, with a vengeance. And this is such a nice vehicle. Everybody that owns them, I know, that loves them. But it's you know, everybody, you've got so many different versions of it, but now you come out with something that's an off-road version. I think you, and it's kind of like, I think people ask me, is that kind of like the Raptor? And I said, well, not quite, but it's kind of cool. So what do you think?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's been a while. We were out of the market for a while, and we've come back, and it has been with a vengeance. We've seen unprecedented support, really, really strong sales numbers, and people are just saying they love it. And to your point about making a bunch of different versions of the Ranger, that's exactly what we did. We wanted to make sure that we had enough variety in the lineup so that people could customize make their own, whether it's appearance packages or, in the case of Tremor, off-road capability. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to build trucks that had what people were looking for, and that's what we've done here with not only with Ranger as a whole, but specifically with this Tremor package.
Well, you know, the Ranger's been great for, I mean, it has so many faces. I mean, this Ranger, some of it's a delivery truck for one of the auto parts stores. And then you've got people that are maybe pull it behind a motorhome, and you've got a pretty plain Jane ones. And then you've got, okay, I'm going to get one that's kind of like a street rod. It seems like you guys are taking what everybody does to them, talking to your owners and getting all this input going, okay, you're taking this truck and you're customizing it this way. Okay, and you other guys are customizing it this way, and somebody else is making an off-road version. So why don't we just do that for you? Everything's covered under warranty, and it's already done. And that seems like what you're doing. Is that kind of your strategy?
That's exactly it. You hear from your customers, you reach out to your customers, you understand what they're looking for, and they tell you. I mean, they tell you exactly what they want, and what they want is a nimble, versatile truck that can is good for both on-road and off-road, and you know, comes in a variety of different looks and feels and different price points, and that's what we've delivered with Ranger. In fact, with the Tremor, what's interesting is we took that design philosophy, mm-hmm. You know, that customer input, and we said, you know, listen, we know a lot of folks make off-road derivative pickup trucks, but what a lot of folks don't do really well, what a lot of other some of our competitors don't do really well, is also make sure that it's a truck first and foremost.
Right.
In other words, it's still got to be able to tow. It's still got to be able to, you know, have payload capacity. It's got to drive well on road, and you know, so it's your daily driver, but it's also your weekend warrior. So it can't be just great at one. It's got to be great at everything.
You know, you're right. There are a lot of people that this is their family car here in Texas, especially, and Michigan too, for example. And, you know, they're not that much cheaper than an F-150. I mean, honestly, for you to build them, it's probably not cheaper at all to build a Ranger than it is an F-150, seeing as how you build so many F-150s. But the size is just so handy for a lot of people fitting in their garage, driving in traffic, you know, and its capability is so close to an F-150. I mean, it's like it's not a – it used to be it was like the Ranger was a small truck and the F-150 was a big truck. But now it's not a small. It's like a medium-sized truck. And so it works actually in a way better.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you hear – you know, you basically hear that, you know, we all know there's advantages and disadvantages on a variety of trucks, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the full-size trucks, they do very, very well what they do very, very well. And a lot of folks tell us, hey, I'm just looking for something a little bit smaller. It fits better in my lifestyle. I may not need to do quite as much as I need to do on a full-size, but I still have to have a lot of capability. I mean, this Tremor, mm-hmm. I mean, it has 7,500 pounds of towing.
Wow.
It has 1,430 pounds of capacity. That's on an off-road derivative of the Ranger.
Right.
So those numbers are pretty big. You can do a lot. You can, you can still take your toys with you on your adventures when you have that kind of capability.
Well, you know, you're right. And, besides the fact you can make this one of your toys, but it's a lot more, it's more than that. You've got these big shocks on you've got it. You've got with remote reservoirs. It's got big specially tuned coilover springs, rear leaf springs, 32-inch tires. Oh, my God, that's big. That's great.
Yeah. I'd like to break it down into really – there's kind of like four things mm-hmm. that make this Tremor package what it is. And you've hit on a couple of them. One is just off-road capability massively increases due to the all-new suspension system. That it's a Fox 2.0 system with rear reservoirs. It's got additional geometry improvements. Mm-hmm. So it's up off the ground a little bit more. It's got nearly an inch of ground clearance improvement, better approach, departure, breakover angles. And we've really focused a lot of our improvements on increased jounce travel. So just, being able to handle more movement, mm-hmm. In the obstacles off-road. And so that's kind of like the main thing is in the meat and potatoes of the package is really this massively improved suspension system. The second is, as you mentioned, wheels and tires and other off-road information. So it's got a 32-inch Continental Grabber tire, which is pretty beefy, aggressive, knobby
sure.
tire. Brand-new wheels on it. It's got a brand-new hoop-step sidebar. So that's a big, big addition in terms of functionality and also, quite frankly, the looks of it. And the third thing we've done is we've put a lot of technology into it. We've got our terrain management system, which enables you to set vehicle controls for mm-hmm. Various travel conditions you're in, whether it's the terrain is, muddy or snowy or bumpy or whatever it is, you can adjust the vehicle settings to handle that better. There's a technology called Trail Control, which allows you to set a speed and then be able to drive that speed without using your gas or brake, just
right.
your steering.
Cruise control, off-road trail. Cruise control.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
2 miles an hour cruise control. I know. It's awesome.
It's even got one of the things we've got is people say to us, hey, I appreciate you build us this truck, but I want to add my own light bars, and I want right. to go put a compressor in the back to pump up my tires, or even I want to go overlanding, and I need some sort of refrigerant. So how do I hook that all up electronically? Well, we put a 6-button aux switch in there to basically be able to run all of your electronics that you want right through the Ranger's electronic control system. So, you could do that on your own, but you'd be cutting holes and running wires in your truck. And we just said, if people are going to do it, let's build it for them and make it easy. Make it plug and play.
Folks, we're talking to Chad Callender, who's the Ford Ranger marketing manager. Chad, I have three or four friends that are in the construction and oil field business, and they use Raptors. They buy Raptors because when they're off-road, they have to go off-road a little bit to get to their sites and things like that. And the suspension holds up so much better than the standard F-150, okay, because it's a Raptor and it's made for this. I could see this replacing, in some cases, they need something smaller than a Raptor. Raptors are hard to drive because it's so big. This would be so into that. I mean, they can get to their sites easy. They can have a nice payload, and you can carry stuff out to the site. I think that's great because these guys beat the hell out of their trucks, and this better suspension sure helps it last a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah. Whether it's the job site or just the weekend getaway, I mean, this is rough terrain people are going on. And to be able to have a suspension that can handle that better, that can provide more confidence, better control, just handle the rough stuff better. That's exactly why we built Tremper. It's folks like that, whether they're working or playing, just needing something extra to help give them that performance they need.
Besides, this thing is lifted over. It's taller than a standard Ranger, right?
Yeah, it's got 9.7 inches of ground clearance, which is almost a full inch above the ride height of the existing base Ranger.
Well, that means somebody doesn't have to add a lift kit, which is what a lot of people will add. And they put the big tires on it. First thing they'll do is they'll buy it, put the big tires on it, some special shocks, and a lift kit. You've done it all for them, and it's under warranty.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a warranty.
Yep, right. Straight from the manufacturer, you know, built for adventure.
Well, I know that Ranger had this nice partnership, and Ford has, period, with the Yakima guys and all this off-road things, all these camping goodies and stuff like that are specifically designed for Ford vehicles. Is that obviously going to extend over to this Tremor, right?
Yeah. We've got a great relationship with Yakima and a couple other
Pelican,
you know, providers,
I think.
Yeah, but the cool thing about what we've done with Ford is not only did we establish a relationship and make sure that their equipment can fit on our vehicles and what have you, but we've actually made it available so that you can roll that into your purchase price, finance it through Ford Motor Credit. If you lease a Ranger, the equipment that you're adding, the accessories that you're adding, could become part of your residual value and part of your overall lease payment. So a lot of, business transactional things we've done to really enable people to have a turnkey overlanding truck. You know, they take their Tremor as a base and they add some racks and tents and some other things in the back, and you've got an adventure vehicle ready to roll.
Knowing you guys from Ford, you all already had this out for the last 2 years doing this, you know, beating this thing up. I know how you guys are. You'll camouflage it, make it look like a regular Ranger, and you'll take it out and beat the hell out of it and make sure it all holds up and everything for your customers. You know, what a tough job.
Yeah, right.
I feel so sorry for you, man.
What's interesting, though, is in some of those instances, it is unbelievably tough. I mean, I get the point you're making because it's fun. But it's amazing. Some of this testing that we put these vehicles through, literally you can't put a human in the vehicle to be able to do the testing. Like, we have this one track where it's just so bumpy and beat up, and we race our vehicles all day up and down these trails. And we do it and we actually put robots in the vehicle because it would just, you know, at some point when you're driving in the vehicle that long,
right,
those bumpy terrain, you know, it would become a physically challenging job. But yeah, it is. There's a lot of cool stuff we do that we get to partake in, and I got to tell you, I love my job as a result of it.
Well, you know, the Ranger's been such a great success story for Ford. I mean, you guys can't seem to make any mistakes. Where can we find out more about the Ranger? Where's the best Ford site to go? Can't we even build one online?
Yeah, so the best place to go is Ford.com. So right when you load Ford.com's website up, there'll be a link right at the top that'll take you into a deep section where you can kind of see everything you want to know about the Tremor. We've created some we've got a bunch of images. We've created some video content. We've got, you know, a list of all the equipment that's in the package. So everything's all there at your fingertips. In terms of the availability of the vehicle, they just this week, or late last week rather, became available for order from the dealers. And so what we call the order bank has been opened. And we're starting to see orders come in the last several days, late last week and early this week.
Awesome.
Vehicles will be available to consumers and be on dealer lots right at the beginning of the year. So we're just a few months away from people having the vehicles available.
Cool, man. Tell you what, I'm all excited. I can't wait to see them. Chad, thanks for joining Let's Talk Wheels today.
I appreciate it, Michael. Anytime.
All right, folks, we got a lot more to come right here on Let's Talk Wheels.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Peralta. Okay, cool conversation there with Chad Callender from Ford. But Mike, tell people, what do you and Jeremy talk about every week on the podcast version when Jeremy comes on Classic.com?
Well, this week, you know, last week we were talking about, or the last couple of weeks we've been talking about what people have been emailing us, you know, at info@letstalkwheels.com. They're talking about, like, what is the best 50s to 60s vehicles, 60s to 70s, 70s to 80s, 80s to 90s. We're talking about buying classic vehicles. And what we're going to talk about today is all about, you know, how to pick one and not get, you know, and do it right. How to also sell one, how to sell your vehicle, what you might want to do to it that would give you the most bang for the buck. This is going to give you the biggest return on your vehicle when you have, you know, when you go to sell it, clean it, this, whatever. And also the best place to do it, because if you ever put a vehicle on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, you get all these people going, I know I want $11,000 for it, but I'll give you $3,500. And then I also have a 79 whatever I want to trade in, but it hasn't run for 5 years. I'm going to trade in my lawnmower. You know, how about if I give you my lawnmower and $12? And you're like, wait a minute. You're just wasting my time and yours. That's just people lowball you. And this is – you know, find it where you can get you know, good money for your vehicle and without just making you crazy.
Well, you can find that conversation on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast each and every week. So the radio show, you guys just heard it. We add an extra segment with Jeremy Barenbaum on the podcast. If you're into classic cars, if you're into what Mike just talked about, you can find it over there very easily. If you go to sportsmapradio.com and click on podcasts, you'll find Let's Talk Wheels. And that might be the most simplistic way of getting a hold of it, but it's available on Spotify, available on iTunes. So just go and search Let's Talk Wheels and you will find it. You can subscribe and you'll get that conversation, and we are back next week, same place, same time, for Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.